Finally, we have some progress, but the problem is it's 10 years too late because the task they're having them do, AI now does that for them. And this is where they needed to be 15 years ago doing that tech.
I think the challenge there is when law firm owners hire new associates or support staff, should always lead by example. The problem is, and I'm not knocking on anyone, but I know a ton of law firm owners that self-leadership when it comes to training might be missing.
You're listening to the Grow Law Firm Podcast, where each guest shares actionable, practical ideas with you on how to get more clients, expand your reach, and grow your law firm's revenue and profit. Here's your host, Sasha Burson.
Hi there. I have a small but really meaningful favor to ask you. You know, I watch At The Stats on our YouTube channel and Spotify channel, wherever most people listen and watch our podcast. And I see that over 80% of everybody who listens to it regularly is not a subscriber. I'm asking you to subscribe to this channel. And the reason for that is my mission and the mission of my team is to help as many small law firm owners to learn how to transform their law firms into better businesses, and so they in turn enjoy better lives. When you hit subscribe button, you tell these platforms that this is content worth listening, worth viewing, and they in turn will show it to many other small law firm owners and hopefully help me fulfill our mission of helping them create a better business and enjoy better lives. So would you please do me this favor? It would mean the world to me. And hit the subscribe button. And my promise to you is that I will continue to work hard at creating good content with practical ideas that help you and your teams grow better law firms. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the one and only Doug Lusk, the founder of National Society for Legal Tech, a man who found a problem and solve the problem and is fighting to continue to solve it at so many law firms. I'm a business guy. I look at this as a business problem. A little over a year ago, I had Joshua Lennon, the in-house attorney from, do you know who he is?
I do. In-house counsel at Clio.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great guy. Wonderful.
So for those of you who are listening or watching this and you don't know who Joshua Lennon is, he is the in-house attorney at Clio. He was on this podcast a little over a year ago, and here's what he disclosed. He said that people who learn, who just implement Clio, increase their billable hours by approximately 17% by learning how to use that one software. Or you don't have to learn how to use it, and you keep your billable hours where they are because you're not proficient at the software. I think that what you're teaching at NSLT, a little bit of a mouthful, National Society for Legal Tech, should be something that's mandatory in the workplace, not necessarily in law school. You have an operating law firm, you have few people working there, or you're a solo, you need that training because by learning how to leverage technology, you're going to solve multiple problems. Namely, this is my assumption, please add to this list. Namely, you're going to increase your efficiency, and thus you could do more billable work rather than BS labor. And again, there are still so many attorneys. You'd be surprised. I don't have the percentage, but so many solo or very small law firm owners who are still doing things on paper. I know them. I know people.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
yeah. I know attorneys that still write their briefs by hand. And I'm like, yeah, we gotta fix that.
So that is a huge problem. The other problem, you started talking about AI performing so many functions. The real danger of AI is not that it's going to replace you, an attorney. The real danger of AI is that one attorney who knows how to use technology can replace 3, 4, 5 other attorneys. So if you're not learning how to use technology, you are slowly working yourself out of your job or out of your business.
I don't know that I 100% agree with that.
What's
your
take
on it? So my take is it isn't going to replace us. you know, we actually will end up hiring more people than we ever had before, because our firms will make more money than it ever has before, because we're not spending as much time doing kind of the menial tasks of the job. We can take in more cases and not be as bogged down. We can those cases that we normally would have passed on because maybe not enough money to make it worth the time or too much risk for it, that we normally would take it, but we're busy, we're going to pass. You're going to take those in because AI can help you with those cases, and pretty soon it's going to be easier stuff. It's where we see the access to justice come in, but that's a whole nother topic. So we're talking now on that. But what we will see is attorneys who know AI replace attorneys who don't know AI. That's going to happen in the marketplace. For a small firm, what really helps with the use of AI is it allows us to take on bigger firm competitors. When I was a paralegal in a law firm, we were fighting a case against State Farm, Allstate, the big five insurance companies. I mean, they had fleets of attorneys in each one of those five companies, and they were burying us alive in discovery requests. I mean, one point we were on discovery request number 500 and something, you know, and it just, you know, and all we had was at my firm was me. I was the only support personnel and two partners and enough counsel. So four of us taking on five major law, insurance firms. And how did we keep up? I understood how tech worked. I was able to do all of this. And at one point we were doing a deposition and the opposing counsel for Farmers turns to us and says, wow, you guys must have a really big team. I went, nope, that's just me, but I know how technology works. So we could punch above our weight. We could take on those big guys with our little firm of four because we were leveraging the right technology to keep up with these big fleets fleet of attorneys and support staff. That's why you need to go and learn AI, is you can take on cases you just normally wouldn't have been able to afford to take on, or been able to hold a good defense against. And that's kind of my approach to AI. It really comes in. People say, well, I don't have time to learn about it. I don't have time to stop. And they don't understand that the little time you're going to give up to learn about those products, train on those products, you're going to get back in huge amounts on the back end, and for how much time it's going to save you, how much labor it's going to save you, how much costs and expenses you're going to save in that. I mean, we look at it when it comes to digital transcript software. Okay, the amount of money I can save from having a human stenographer in there in my deposition versus having AI stenographer in the deposition. Huge savings right there alone. And that's AI at work. We still have a human there. We're still doing it. Helps bring our costs down. Helps us do more work with it. Same thing when it comes to AI and discovery. So, with the new software programs that are out there implementing AI and e-discovery, they can go put it into work. You load in all your documents and we can sit and just ask it questions. No more searching for keywords. No more searching for key dates. We can just simply go, everybody kind of understands the Enron situation. We can easily come in and go, okay, who were the attorneys in California for this during this time period? And it will find all of that and tell us the documents it relies on for the answer. Pretty soon doing discovery, searching is going to be as simple as taking a deposition. It will be just sit there and ask it the questions you want to know. And it'll tell you, here's the documents that, help me get to this answer. And we're going to do it instantly. So discovery is, majority of what litigation costs are. We spend more time in discovery than we do in any other stage of the litigation process. So bringing in software that helps with that stage really moves the costs a lot in the time that it takes to do your cases. Yeah.
Are there any reliable case studies that indicate how much time savings could be gained?
I haven't seen anything yet. If anything's out there, I would check with DISCO. Their Cecilia product is one of the best that I've seen recently with AI use in e-discovery software. But I haven't seen the stats on it or haven't paid attention to the stats on it. But it's seeing it in process just blows my mind. I look back going, okay, all those days of having to search page by page and, you know, sitting there trying to think of what keywords am I going to search for and how many different ways can I call it this, you know, and I look back going, that those days are gone. Those days are gone. The days of having to figure out, hey, here's the key list that we're searching for. Here's our keywords. Imagine getting ready to do document production to your own clients. Now you can go through, import all of their data, and simply plug in the document requests and have the AI come back and go, here's the documents that match request number one. Here's the documents that match request number two. You know, and have it perfectly identified. I mean, where then you can then go through and find the redacting. A lot of this new AI even does the redacting for you. It'll come up and go, hey, we found these social security numbers. We've redacted that. Here's the bank numbers. We've redacted that. Here is, you know, and it does all that and puts out your log. I mean, just phenomenal stuff. Time consuming. I look back as a paralegal going, wow. Okay, all the time I spent redacting bank account numbers off of checks and, you know, and yeah. So time saved, and in a little firm, you don't have money to waste. You know, you're doing this. You got to watch your margins. You got to watch your profitability. That's, you know, why we're in business. You got to think like a business. You know, I want profits up and I want costs down. So what helps me do that? Mm-hmm. And technology is the answer to all of that. Yeah.
Yet it is so incredibly difficult to get that through so many business operators, namely law firm owners here and in sure. all other industries. I'm sure it's just as challenging. Oh,
it is.
This reminds me, so eons ago, a couple years after the Enron case, my ex-wife, who is by training a legal economic consultant. So for those of you who may not know what that is, Corporation A sues Entity B for an infringement. They did something wrong. The lawyers cannot calculate the damages. They go to consultants who specialize in economics. They calculate those damages. They come back and an expert goes to court and presents the case why this is worth $250 million. I remember the astronomical investment of time her firm made into her training in Excel. This is close to 20 years ago. And the reason for that was the better she got at Excel, the faster she could do her work. Mm-hmm. To the day, we're close friends. We have an almost 17-year-old child. Whenever I run into a problem with any type of spreadsheet, I go straight to her and she cracks that problem in seconds. Whereas I could spend days trying to figure something out. That's an investment that keeps on paying dividends. Now, two decades after the fact, after I should do the training.
Absolutely. Training is a very important thing that a lot of small business owners, law firms especially, overlook. They don't spend time doing training because, one, there's not a lot of resources out there to do training when you're a small firm. And so it's easy to ignore because the industry's ignored you. So, you know, that's, you know, a lot of great resources. I mean, that was what the NSLT was built for, is we went, hey, let's put training resources for small firms especially, that's really what our focus is on, is small firms and individuals. Let's put them all in one place where we can come to one thing, pay one price for training, and have access to a lot of different programs out there. That was really the goal behind it. It was also, you know, let's say you switch to a new program. So you switch over to Clio. Great. So Clio has helped you train your office on how to use Clio. You've gotten efficient. This is great. What happens 2 months later? We hire a new office person. We get a new paralegal. Well, they don't know Clio. They didn't learn that. They missed the training. Are we going to pay to have Clio come back out and train them? No. We're going to set them in front of their computer and say, okay, good luck. Here's what you do. Let me know if you have questions. And that new employee doesn't want to ask you questions because they don't want to look stupid in front of their new boss. So they just kind of wing it through and pick up things, and they end up being about 20% efficient with the software programs. So we thought, hey, what if we could give a resource where you could use it as an onboarding tool for when you get a new person? Great. Put them through the training. Give them resources. They've got access for a year. They can go in and do things on their own time. It's in 5-minute pieces. And, you know, everybody's got 5 minutes. Now, you probably watched a lot of training videos on YouTube, just like I've had. I've learned a lot of software by watching YouTube, but I pull up those videos, they're an hour long. I don't have a free hour. If I had a free hour, I'd be working on some other case, you know, but do I have 5 minutes? Yeah, I can find 5 minutes. And that's why we thought, let's put our training into 5-minute pieces where you can just come in and find how to do one button, one feature. And that's what you do today, is just learn, how do I do this one feature? And before you know it, you've been sitting there for half an hour doing lessons because you're going, ooh, this one's cool. Ooh, I could totally use this. And I considered myself a Word expert when I was working in the law firm. I had taken Word in high school, had taken Word in college, I had taken Word as a paralegal student. I didn't know you could copy and paste feature, and if you double-clicked it, it just stayed on. So then you could copy and just paste and paste and paste and paste and paste. And I went back to my office going, why didn't any of you tell me about this feature? What are you talking about? And then, I mean, how many times in the legal world do we use copy and paste and copy and paste formatting? And, you know, we use that all the time, all day long, and easily saved everyone in our office 20 minutes a day just learning that one single task that took me 5 minutes to learn. You know, that's the thing, is bite-sized pieces to take on the huge task. Training and learning software is huge, that most firms go, nope, this is for another day because I can't take this in today. I'm too busy. We have this, you know, there's always a fire to put out when you work in a small law firm. Every day is a fire. And you're just running from dumpster fire to dumpster fire, trying to keep things under control and keep things together and functional and moving, that you don't think, oh, you know, I can't just dedicate today to training my employees on a software program. There's just not those kind of days out there. And so, but going, hey, 5 minutes today at the end of my lunch or before my lunch, or, you know, at the beginning of my day, end of my day, I'm going to take 5 minutes, that 5 minutes of improvement every day. And pretty soon you're getting that time back. And you've learned those software programs and you've learned those steps. So that was kind of our approach to it, is teeny bite-sized pieces, and you can do this. You will get the time back and you will see it rewarding you back with time saved and, you know, better efficiency. Really, when a small firm comes, it's all about efficiency, because you don't have people to throw at the task. You don't have those kind of resources. People usually is the least amount of resource you have. You know, and so trying to get the most out of them in the least amount of time is always the goal. And technology is our solution for that.
Yeah, I think the challenge there is when law firm owners hire new associates or support staff. Mm-hmm. You should always lead by example. The problem is, and I'm not knocking on anyone, but I know a ton of law firm owners that self-leadership when it comes to training might be missing. So if you don't have self-leadership on that, it is really hard, to lead your team to do something that you personally do not do. At my company, we're not a law firm, we're a marketing company. Yeah. We have mandatory training on the things that we do. We have in-house experts who teach the rest of the team on all of the developments, and not just developments, but fundamentals and tactics, Different departments are taught different things in regular intervals. There's this type of training every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. There's I teach business acumen to account managers. Every 6 weeks, there is a 90-minute session where I just talk about business because that's my whole background is operating business for over 23 years now. Huh? Why do account managers need to know that? Well, because they work for business owners. They need to understand business. Thus, I teach business acumen, not just SEO, not just PPC, not just websites. Those things they learn in other sessions taught by other people. And we're a relatively small marketing company. We have about 60 employees, but that training is mandatory. And I think it is in part because I remember when my ex-wife was learning, she would travel. We live in Chicago. She would travel to New York for 5 days at a time to study Excel. The efficiency gains were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Fun story. In 2008 or 9, their client, I forget who it was suing Google. They went after Google. They requested files from Google to prove that they were engaged in very unfair practices. That case was settled. I cannot disclose. I learned what kind of practices they were doing, but yeah. At the time, they were doing some funny things.
We can imagine.
So Google, in their infinite wisdom, and back then they still preached but didn't practice do no evil, they sent this group of economists two sets of files in different format that was not mergeable. Because of their training, a team of 8 or 9 people worked through that data for something like 3 weeks nonstop. If they didn't have the training, it probably would have taken them 3 years, 13 mm-hmm. years, 30 years. Mm-hmm. It was an impossibly large data set. No AI. This is 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. I think it was Excel. And if you remember, Microsoft Access. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't merge that data. And they just, but because they were so good with Excel, because their employer invested weeks of payroll, every employee into that training, they were so good that they were able to work through infinite amount of data in a span of 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, people use that tactic. I mean, we use it all the time in law firms. I've seen a lot of law firms play dirty when it comes to producing documents. And they take that document that they know is the smoking gun. They know it's the document that sinks their case. They know they have to turn it over. So what do? We bury it. We bury it in so many documents and in such a weird order that we hope it goes unnoticed. You know, we'd do requests and we used to get 45 copies of their handbook, and inside page 240, between 240 and 241, would be that one document that is ugly. They're hoping we just ignore it and don't find it buried in all of those copies. I did employment law for a long time, so we were suing companies and they're giving us all their training manuals and here's our retraining manuals, and you're going, none of this has anything to do with the lawsuit. But that was the tactic, is we bury it. We turn over 100,000 documents, 90,000 of it is the same noise, and then we just hope you don't notice the stuff that's out there. Hope you're not skilled enough to find it. You know, and so training in how to reduce all that noise, you know, just like learning Excel, you know, when your ex-wife learned Excel, they were able to make sense of all of that noise when it came across. The other party knew what they were doing. They knew that the access for data wouldn't talk to the Excel data. It's why they sent it that way, you know? And so
they had a very good
reason. Yeah. Yeah. And they're hoping that you won't find what they know is in there. Yeah. And we do the same thing when we do document productions in law firms. We hope the other party is either too lazy to look or not knowledgeable enough to find what they're looking for. And we bury it and hide it and pretend that everything's good and send it over. So that's why you've got to be good at technology, because you can't be a good attorney if you aren't using the right tools to find those types of things.
And for law firm owners, again, there are such incredible efficiency gains that you can make once you have your people properly utilize the software, because they were trained how to. I think Joshua from Clio told me that utilization of Clio software is somewhere in like 20-something percent range, meaning it can do this much, but most people use it for this much. But if you use it not for this much, but just double this, you could make a lot more money, because you either need fewer people, because the people who you have can do a lot more because they're utilizing the software properly, or you could do a lot more work with the exact same payroll.
Yeah.
One way or another, you can increase profitability.
Probably won't surprise you if I tell you that's really how it is with every single software program you're using. You know about this much out of this much of what Word can do, and you know about this much of what Excel can do, and this much of what Outlook can do, and every program you're using. I constantly get emails and questions asked to me, and they're going, this is what I need a software program to do. And, you know, do you know a software program that'll do this task? And I always start with, okay, well, tell me what you're currently using, because, you know, technology, we want to make sure it plays nicely with other things. So I'm always going, okay, tell me the software you use in your firm. And they'll tell me, I'm going, well, you have software that does that task. And I was like, really? I'm like, you just need to learn how to use that.
Yeah.
Back in college, I had a boss that taught me a really good phrase that's I've used for a long time. And he said, if you want to keep a secret, write it in a manual, because nobody will ever go read it. And so I remember that every time I'm thinking, okay, I need to figure this out. Oh, it's probably written in the manual. They just know no one's going to go read it. And especially now that software doesn't come in a box anymore, where we used to, you know, unpackage our software and you had that thick manual and you threw that up because you were never going to touch it, and you just installed your software and away you went. Well, I used to be the person who read those manuals and just be like, okay, how do I use this? You know, and I learned so many cool things in the manual. Well, now that we buy software online and we just go to the web and we, you know, it just gets downloaded, we're good, we're set. We don't have those manuals sitting on our desk anymore, but you know what? They still exist. They're still out there. They're buried in the company's website. You just got to go find it. But we learned so many great things through all of those out there, you know, and we think, oh, hey, if it's not on their YouTube channel, then there must not be training on this. No, there's tons of training. It's just buried in their website. There's lots of data on it. You just got to go find that owner's manual and go read that. But yeah, that's always my first recommendation is go back to your office and learn how to use all the software you're already paying for. That probably will solve any issue that you're dealing with.
Yeah, I think just if you're using a practice management software, and I hope that you do if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
If you just go and do all of the training that's available, like invest 8 hours a year.
A year.
Your life is going to become easier.
You're going to recoup so much time.
So much. And this is the way that they think about software. Whoever designed it, product designers usually go talk to potential users and they ask them about problems and workflows. What kind of problems are you experiencing daily? And how do you go about solving those problems? Now we're going to mimic that in the software, but just do it a lot more efficiently. We solved that problem for you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know that they solved that problem for you, you're going to keep on doing it manually or somewhat inefficiently. So I always think that, and this is why, so in the marketing business, there are a few like mainstream software. We're heavy users of HubSpot software. HubSpot has numerous certifications, and users are greatly encouraged to take those certification programs. Not because, well, for employees, you can go and if you have certification, you could probably make more money because you have that certification. For business owners, you want your employees to take those certification courses because once your people have been certified by HubSpot, they will utilize that software much more proficiently and thus gain significant gains in their productivity and output. It's incredibly important. Doug, I'm thinking as we're wrapping this up, I'm thinking if you were talking with a small law firm owner, where would you tell them to begin their journey with themselves and their teams to gain that efficiency for learning their software? What's a good starting point? And how do they do this type of training on an ongoing basis to maximize the potential of their law firm?
Okay, so great question, because that's why I think a lot of firms don't do training is they just don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. They're standing there on the side of the pool going, okay, do I climb in the ladder? Do I cannonball in? Do I, you know, how do I get in the pool? So the important thing isn't really where you get in. It's just that you do get in. So here's some great resources. One, start with the website for the software company, the software programs you use. Go to their website. Find their frequently asked questions. Find their help desk. Find their training resources, because they probably have tons of resources you've never, ever looked at before. Start with the programs you use. Do that. Learn those programs. Then spend a day and on every task you do in your firm, stop and think, is there a software program that does this task for me? And then just slowly start learning about programs that do those other tasks that you are doing. So if you are, especially if you're doing something manual, if you are doing something manually and still on paper, stop and think, is there a software program out there? Google search it. You find so much stuff just with a simple Google search. YouTube, great spot to go for YouTube. Important thing is that you realize training isn't just a one-time thing. It's not a one and done. That software is going to keep changing. The next version is going to come out. It's going to be different. It's going to be more advanced. There's going to be new features that you need to learn how to use. So key, keep educating yourself. That is the key to doing this. You have to keep going. Just because you learned how Word worked once, trust me, you need a refresher, because if you aren't using the newest tools out there, if you haven't learned how Copilot works with adding into Word, it's going to blow your mind, you know? So keep educating yourself, and finding places you can keep educating yourself. That's one thing we do here at the NSLT. You know, we are technology training for legal professionals. That's our slogan for a reason, is we constantly are adding to our training. We're constantly refreshing our training. We put out a blog. You can go follow the blog. We point out software programs, you know, and it's just once a week. We're not trying to, you know, we're busy. Everybody's busy, people. Last thing you've got is time to sit and read blogs all day. So, nope, it's just two-minute reads once a week. Show you a software program that maybe has never come on your radar. Show you a task that maybe has never come on your radar before. It's just all about educating yourself and constantly learning. Go to the social feeds for the software companies that you use. You know, sign up to follow them on Twitter or X or whatever they call that these days. Follow them on Instagram. Follow them on Facebook. Follow them on LinkedIn, because they put out little snippets of things you could use. They're doing a free webinar training. They're always doing free things that you don't have to pay for. What I love about, you know, small firms, we need to use those resources. We don't have tons of money, endless amounts to put into training. We have to do things that are cost effective. And so many great resources are out there. Make sure your employees have the training that they need. And if you're thinking, hey, there's no way I have the time to do it, well, then you should be making sure the people you employ take time to do it, because you're paying for them by the hour. You might as well get a well-oiled machine versus a rusty one out there if you're paying by the hour. You know, and so even if you're going, it's too much for me, I got too much on my plate, then designate it out. Get somebody in your office that has training, that has current training, because then they can at least spread it to you and you can kind of pick things up by just being near them, you know, in the least. But training should be something on everybody's market. And it doesn't have to be a whole day a month that you spend on training. You know, I tell the firms that I consult with is spend 1 hour a month. That's 12 hours a year of training that you get in. That's a lot of training. And 1 hour a month, you know what that means? 15 minutes a week. 15 minutes a week. Or 5 minutes, three times a week. You can fit in 5 minutes, three times a week. You know, that you can do. Bite-sized pieces is how you tackle this monster task. That's how we take this daunting thing of how do I eat this elephant called technology training? Well, the important thing, just go up and take a bite. Doesn't matter where, just start somewhere. Bite by bite is how we eat this elephant. Yeah, so lots of great resources. Don't think that there's any one answer out there. Tons of places, tons of resources.
Great insights. Doug, thank you so much for sharing all of this. Where do people find your website if they want to check out the training resource that you offer?
Sure. They can find us at legaltechsociety.org.
And isn't it true? I think I read on your LinkedIn profile that you currently have curriculum in something like 200 law schools?
Oh, no, that's wrong. We are now in 317 universities this semester. Use us to do technology training for law office technology classes, software application classes, business software classes. Yeah, we currently teach 40 different software programs, and that teaching meaning we teach it using simulations. So you are learning while you're right in there doing the software, and it's, since it's a simulation, you're not messing up any of your own documents. We hired a paralegal. I did some training, and the next month we sent out our billing and things all over the place because our paralegal thought they were practicing how to do time entries and didn't realize they weren't undoing the work afterwards. We don't want those situations. So we give you a safe place to practice doing all of those things. Not going to destroy any of your own documents or put anything out there that shouldn't be done. So yeah, we teach on that. We do legal research software. That's new with us. We just launched that in January, teaching Lexis, Westlaw, Casetext, Fastcase, Hein Online, Bloomberg Law. You know, sometimes we get stuck using a platform because it's the only thing we know. We don't like it. We don't like the, but we don't want to transition because we're afraid of the learning curve. So again, we give you a safe place where you can come learn about all of that without spending a fortune doing searches in the live software that's just going to add up and cost you. So yeah, lots of great things out there. We're always adding into it, constantly growing our expansion of products.
So if you hire a first year, second year, or third year associate or paralegal, and they're really good at these things, you can thank Doug and his team at National Society for Legal Tech.
Yep.
Doug, definitely. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for this interview. Great insights.
Great. Thank you for having me. I've had a good time coming and talking about technology with you today.
Thanks for listening to the Grow Law Firm podcast. If you liked the ideas shared in this episode, help a fellow lawyer out by sharing a link to the episode. This episode is powered by the team of experts in client attraction, growlawfirm.com. Do you want a complimentary growth plan for your law firm? Request it at growlawfirm.com/blueprint.